C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. And Specs, how about them savings from Specs? Proud partner of the Dallas Cowboys. It's our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, fellas. What's going on?
Well, I do want to talk about the practice last night for sure, but there was something in the mailbag that you addressed, and we see this a lot on social media and our fan text. What would you say to the people who do not believe either A, Kevontae Turpin should be on the team, or B, that his spot shouldn't just be automatically safe?
They should have their heads examined.
Woo! Tell me more, please.
Well, he creates a dimension that nobody else does, right? Speed. He could run away from everybody. And if they were thinking of not keeping him as one of the players on the 53, then why in these practices do they keep handing him the ball on end arounds? Because that's a wasted practice snap, right? If they don't think he's going to make the team. And who on this team, other than Aubrey, is a three-time Pro Bowler on special teams? Who's going to return kicks? They got big enough problems blocking and covering on special teams, and now you're going to put somebody out there that you don't trust catching the ball and returning punts. I don't know why everybody thinks he's expendable. He's got a dimension none of those other wide receivers have. Now, is he like a hybrid wide receiver? No. But if he comes out of the slot, they're not covering him in man coverage. They're not putting a linebacker on him, and they're not double teaming the other two wide receivers and leave him to one of those people. He's going to burn them. And I think people need to recognize the speed and the dimension he brings to this team, not only on special teams, but on the offense when he's got the ball in his hands. These other guys, they're your fifth and sixth receivers, right?
Yeah.
What are they going to add that they don't already have with Lamb and Pickens and Flannoy? So to me, those guys are backups to the top three. Turpin is a guy that adds a dimension they don't have at all.
For the special teams ace kind of guy, how many of those do you typically have that are just like they are specifically there for special teams?
I think that they're going to have maybe two guys that make this team, not necessarily at what they do at their positions, but what they add to special teams. I think Marquise Bell is a valuable special teams player. I think Shoddy talked about him the other day. And I think the other guy that kind of fits that build is Maris Leofau. Now, he's not going to be one of your main line defensive ends, outside linebackers, but he's going to be a guy that'll play on all your special teams. And he's a valuable piece on those special teams because of his versatility. So I could see those two guys making the team or potentially making the team just on their special teams ability. Remember, there's no more C.J. Goodwin around.
Yeah. Right, exactly, yeah.
They're going to need guys to pick up the slack, and those two guys have been pretty good on special teams. And I think, to me, somewhat, they're a necessity to make this 53-man roster.
Now, you talked about it going into the practices yesterday. What did you end up seeing last night, not only in terms of the practice, but in terms of the crowd and the vibe from the team and the fans?
Yeah. I don't know if anybody came up with an official attendance figure and tell me if I missed it.
I haven't seen one either.
I'm guessing easily 6,000 people were there.
Wow.
The one side of the stadium was full. They ended up having to open up the seating on the other side, and there was a lot of people standing on the ledge or the walkway behind the south end zone. So, these people were fired up, and they were getting there early. They were loud. And I think, you know, even though the team was in shells, they kind of react to, the reactions from the crowd. And it might be even more if the people realize tonight they're going to be in pads. Last night they were in shells. So there'll be a little bit more contact today, a little bit more thumping up when they're tackling somebody than there was last night by letting the guy just kind of run through. But yeah, it was a pretty good atmosphere for sure.
Sounds about how many were there for Plano's graduation when my kid graduated last year, Kevin, at the Star. That place was amazing to see a graduation there. Mickey, how refreshing of a training camp has this been for Overshown, and kind of watching him over his career so far and what it's been like kind of seeing him take part in this, be healthy for it, and then, you know, kind of take ownership of it?
Yeah, I think that, it's been, if we want to use the word refreshing, previous seasons when he's gone to training camp, he either got hurt or he was rehabbing something that was surgically repaired in either the off season or at the end of the season. So this year, he was up to speed. He was up to speed in the off season work all through training camp. Now he's nursing a little something. I don't know if it's a groin, hamstring, or whatever. And I think Schottenheimer talked about it one day, saying, you know, maybe we need to watch his snaps. But by the way, that may be so, but last night in the scrimmage, I mean, in the practice, some of his snaps on the first team were going to Jayshon Barham, by the way. They had a lot of defensive sets where Barham and Winters were the linebacker with the first team defense. Now that kind of rotated, but the way I see it right now, that's going to be a three-man rotation at that linebacker spot. And I heard you guys talking about it. He granted an interview last night. And for a change, he said a little bit more than "I play football," right?
I liked everything he said. Everything he said.
Right? I think you get the gist of who he is and how intense he is when he plays football.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, how much does that help? Like, his quicker development, I realize still a rookie, but his quicker development, how much better does that make you feel, or the fan base feel, about that linebacker spot and that rotation possibility?
Yeah, I feel much better about it, knowing that if nothing else, they have depth there, but they also have a guy that, if you need a thumper in the middle, he's different than D. Winters. He's different than Overshown, right? And he's menacing. I mean menacing. And he's young. He's just got to get into it. And remember, you know, what you saw in the game, he really had practiced one time in 2 weeks before he played in that game. And he played through, if he still had a little something, he played through it pretty well. And I'll be interested to see tonight how that rotation continues with Barham getting snaps. And it looks like he's probably good to go on Friday night in the final preseason game. And poor Saints, I wonder if they read clippings.
Yeah, I don't know if that would work for bulletin board material for me.
Mickey, I'm kind of curious, like, that personality with all the players you've ever been around, have you ever encountered anybody that intense? And here's why I ask. One of my favorite memories is when I was working with you as an intern at the website, And I decided I was going to go ask Larry Allen a question while he was sitting on the couch next to Leroy Glover. And I walked up and I said, "Oh, hey, Mr. Allen, how's it going?" And he said, "Why are you talking to me?" And I almost I almost soiled myself at that moment. And Leroy Glover laughed and was like, "I'll answer your questions, dude." And but that, like, for me, Larry Allen was as intense as it gets.
Well, I'll tell you another guy that was intense. And last night was the first time I've seen him at a Cowboy event. Boy, I can't remember what would have been the last time. Jay Ratliff.
And yes, yes.
He looked like he could put a uniform on right now and go out there and give me 10 plays, right? He was in pretty darn good shape, but he was intense. And as a matter of fact, after the practice was over, he was talking with Dunn. And he was he put his hands on his chest and was showing him how to get off a block when the offensive lineman's holding your chest, right?
Mm.
And I said, "Oh, that's the Jay Ratliff I remember, right?" That guy was intense, and he could be pretty darn mean on the football field.
I do remember that, too.
Okay, so then you can help us out with this. We were talking about that. I love players like that, but I probably shouldn't have 100% of my locker room players like that, right? That feels like a very combustible situation. What is the appropriate amount of percentage to have those players in your locker room?
Well, I want them on my defense, right?
And yeah.
I want them up front. And one of the reasons, and there were many, that Charles Haley was so successful and how he played defensive end. But the one thing that I always thought was he would do anything to win on a snap. And I mean anything, right? And I think offensive guys realize that. And there was maybe a little fear factor of what's Haley going to do next, right? And so, yeah, I need a couple of those guys, especially up front. Some snobber knockers, right? Just guys that, you know, are snorting and coming after you.
All right. Yeah.
Yes.
And I'll take, you know, if I got a starting lineup, I'll take two or three of those guys on defense, preferably defensive tackles and linebackers. I need some badass guys up there. And, you know, I think Quinnen Williams is like one of those silent guys. Like he doesn't look like he's real emotional. He's real calm. But I guarantee you when he's on the field, it's no nonsense, right? And Kenny Clark's a lot like that. And I got a feeling that Rashawn Gary is exactly the same. So they've added some guys here from where this team was last year, a week before the season started, that I think will make a difference. And Schottenheimer pointed it out. You know, I've told you guys about how much the roster has changed.
For
sure. He pointed it out the other day, talking about, well, compare this roster to last year's roster, and we're better, and we've grown from within. And I think that's just necessary on defense. You need guys like that. And guys that'll put the fear of God in the offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm. You want somebody just frothing at the mouth all the time? Yeah,
I know. Yeah,
that guy. Yeah. Kind of terrify somebody.
I remember. I think it was. I want to say, it might have been Jason Garrett's dad, Jim Garrett. He would always say, "I don't want a bunch of choir boys on my football team.
Right.
I need some guys," right? And he's right. He's, as a nice, mild-mannered guy he was, he understood that part of the game.
Excellent stuff. As always, we look forward to your practice report and more frothing at the mouth talk tomorrow.
Yes. And maybe the White Sox can score 11 runs.
Hey!
Today,
okay,
huh?
Look, we didn't have to bring that up.
Thanks,
Nate,
for bringing that up.
Well, what did I tell you yesterday? I said one day they'll give up 11, the next day they'll score 11.
That is fair. It has been a very drunk series thus far. We will see who takes the rubber game tonight. Thank you very much, good sir.
See you guys.
There you go. Mickey Spagnuolo from Dallas Cowboys
it
and maybe WhiteSox.com. Yeah, it has been. Absolutely.
You think he's running WhiteSox.com over there, huh?
Man, I thought about making a joke and be like, hey, I'm going to need you to cool out on the language just a little bit. I believe this is the second straight day he said ass.
But he's right.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You do need some badass people out there. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, our own badass segment. It's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus, hey, at least one Ranger's making plays. Next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Remember, tomorrow we will start our giveaway extravaganza courtesy of Dr. Pepper. It is a one-of-a-kind fantasy football giveaway at the 9 a.m. hour, 1 p.m. hour, and 5 p.m. hour, both tomorrow and Friday on our respective shows. There will be a keyword that will be given away. Don't worry. You'll hear it plenty of times. You call in the designated time with a chance to win a Dr. Pepper prize pack and qualify. Only six qualifiers will make it to host your own draft inside the Cowboys War Room. One grand prize winner will be picked for that. And it all starts tomorrow.
Exciting.
Exactly. But right now, oh, just as exciting. It's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the pride of Mansfield, Texas, and the mayor of the Medfordplex. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line. You can answer today's question of the day there. Twitch or YouTube available for you as well. Plus, at least one of our Rangers is making plays out there. We'll get to the audio here in just a little bit. Plus, I got a rant I got to go on. Something happened yesterday at the gym.
Do it.
And I need to share with you because it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
I was a bad boy yesterday.
I don't like the way you said that.
My oldest son called me while I was at the gym, and he's off in college, Kevin.
I did know that.
36 minutes away.
He's not living at your house anymore.
He called me to talk about some butcher shop he found that gives raw meat out. And he was like, I'm going to eat this raw liver. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh man.
And I was on the treadmill wrapping up the day and, you know, doing the 8.5 incline, 2.5 speed. I'm working my way up, Alec. All right, I got work to do there. But I'm sitting there on the phone with him with my earbuds in, you know, talking to him. And then I realize I'm probably talking really loud, and I'm that jerk right now. I started whispering. He was like, Dad, I can't hear you. And I was like, come on,
call
man. You know what's happening. Yeah, can I call you out here? So I don't be that guy.
Yeah.
I was that guy for just a minute.
I never
answered. Shout out to Liberty Rec.
No.
I never answered.
Not Liberty Rec.
It doesn't have the same effect as yeah.
It doesn't.
No.
It sounds uncomfortable. Like it brings you pain. I don't answer phone calls in the gym unless like it's somebody of high importance. I think I've answered two calls at the gym in this past calendar year.
He is at this moment because he's off at college, 36 minutes away in Denton. where they just named Taven Jackson, I guess, the quarterback at UNC.
Oh, in your face, Mestermaker.
But he's gone.
I know.
Oh, but
how easy it was to replace him.
This dude's been at Tennessee, Indiana, and a couple other places. Anyway.
Nice.
But he's of high importance, I think. You know,
I'd say so.
Because, like you said, he doesn't live in the house anymore. So
right.
I've just figured that since he was calling, it was something really important. But he just wanted to talk. And that's awesome.
Well, speaking of high importance, today is National Toilet Paper Day.
Oh,
you're
topical.
Today is National Toilet Paper Day, among many other things. It's also National Dog Day. But I was like, toilet paper is a lot more niche. So we're going to run with that.
Can I ask you a dog question?
Sure.
If your dog dies,
oh no,
do you think that you should just be able to take a day or two off of work for like your bereavement or whatever?
Yes.
Okay.
I took a day off work to put him down.
Oh. Yeah.
I had to do that with my older cat.
And I will say the rest of the day sucked.
Yeah.
So you probably wouldn't have wanted me here that day, but okay. I had to go put him down that morning, and I was like, ugh. Now it's fine on Monday. I still missed him. And then I got a replacement dog.
Oh, my God.
Replacement dog sounds crazy.
Man.
Well, I mean, well, he fills that void in our family. He's a new
That's
pup.
A nicer way
the
to
other
put
one
it.
Had, it was, he was old. He'd seen the streets, dude, you know?
As Gavin Dawson would say, he had a good run.
Yeah, he did. He really did. Compared to where he was, they found him with mange on some mattress in a dirty, just beat up, you know, shack. And then he got to come live in our house, lived a great life. Mm. Unfortunately, he, you know, did what we all do.
Well, we all need toilet paper. So the question of the day today is, what is the worst thing to unknowingly run out of? 877-881-1053. Because running out of toilet paper and you didn't realize it obviously stinks.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch of things.
Spare
that,
tires.
Yeah, that works. Like there's,
you should know, but if you don't, that's a tough time to find out.
Or hey, maybe you just went to Platinum Chevrolet and you said, hey, I'm going to buy this car, and you didn't think to look if it comes with a spare tire. You just assumed it did.
Oh,
because a lot of new cars these days don't come with it. They just come with a pump.
Right?
Yeah, a lot of them just come with a pump, you know, and maybe some like sealant, and they're like, hey, hope for the best. You know?
Oh,
so,
man.
Yeah, I've seen cars like that. I think my dad's current car is like that. It just has a pump in the back, and they're like, hey, if it's really gone, you're screwed. So,
oh, man.
Yeah. So what is the worst thing to unknowingly run out of? Because I feel like it's different for everybody. Toilet paper is obviously the one seed, so I'm absolving that from the question of the day. I say protein bars. That is the worst thing because, especially in the line of work that we do, there's not a ton of time to eat, right? Like a real meal. So we're snacking throughout the day. And sometimes I'll go into the pantry, I'll reach into the little cubby where I keep all the protein bars, and there's nothing in there. And I'm like, oh my God, today is going to suck.
Mm-hmm. Does your dad ever eat your protein bars? And you're like, what the crap, dude?
No, because it's not a Bassick situation with his healthy bars at the old studio. No, he thinks old protein bars suck in general, which is just simply untrue. A lot of them do. I'll give them that. A lot of them taste like chalk, and that's okay because I can avoid it. I've tried so many, and the ones that I've landed on right now, and Choppy always kind of gives me a weird look anytime he sees me with one, is the Gatorade protein bars. No, they don't taste like Gatorade or anything. It's just Gatorade branded, but the chocolate peanut butter ones. I get them off of Amazon. They're overnight eligible on Prime. So if I do run out, I can get them within the next 24 hours, which is awesome. But there's plenty of times where I'm like, I did not pay attention, and I'm going to starve at work.
Oh, no. Is that the case today?
No, thankfully not. I think I've got about five left.
Oh, yeah, I was going to let you. I got one if you need something.
I'm fine right now, but it's happened plenty of times where I'm just depressed the entire day because I'm like, my 25 gram of protein, just rectangle that I don't even really care about enjoying or anything. It's just consume it, get it out of the way. Easy 25 grams. I don't have that today, but today I do.
I got a top three list.
Oh. That's a different segment.
Take that, Woolchuck.
That we don't do anymore for some reason.
Thanks a lot, cyclists.
To number three, based on what Alex said, air in your tires. It would be very bad to run out of air in your tires.
Yeah.
Number two, oil.
These are all car things?
Looking at you, America.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know. We need more oil, right?
Do we?
Do we not?
I don't know.
Why are we dealing with the straight?
Oh, because we want all the oil.
We don't need it. We want it.
There you go.
And then beer. I think beer has been showing up a lot here, Kevin. Unexpectedly running out of beer is the worst because you're drunk and you don't need to get back in the car and go get more beer. So you're now out of beer, but you want more beer and you're like, I need more beer right now. How's this party going to keep going? And then bad things happen. Fortunately, there are the DoorDashes. And you know, Uber Eats and stuff like that exists now, and you can just say, hey, can you bring me some beer?
Yeah, okay.
But unexpectedly, back in the day, the BEEWRUN beer run was a definite thing.
Okay.
So beer.
All right.
Is my answer.
Got it.
That was my
top three list. Oh, cooking oil.
Ooh, that's a really good one.
You ever run out of salt? You go to the salt shaker or salt.
What? You're like, that's fine.
What are you talking about? That's fine. It adds flavor. Actually, it doesn't add flavor.
I know how to cook and make my food
flavor. It doesn't add flavor. It opens up flavor.
That's right.
Allows you to see and taste and smell every flavor at the same time.
It expands the palate.
Yes. Salt is not a flavor. It makes flavor better. It's a flavor enhancer. That's what salt is.
Salt is not a flavor. Gonna write that one down.
Even though it's salty, you know?
Again, the question of the day for National Toilet Paper Day. What is the one thing that is worse to run out of unknowingly?
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with spare tire. That's a tough time to find out.
Yeah.
That you're like, oh crap, we got a flat. We'll go get the spare. Well, breaking news, we don't have a spare.
Why is it? Are we running out of rubber? Are we unexpectedly running out of rubber?
You know what? It's because surely not Platinum Chevrolet, but other places, they cheap out on the tires when you buy the car. First of all, they give you the factory tires, which aren't as good as other tires that you can get. And now sometimes you don't even get a spare tire. Come on, car companies.
I don't even know if I've looked to see if my vehicle has a spare tire.
You should look.
I now need to go, like, when I get out to the truck today, I got to go look just to make sure, because this is freaking me out.
Yeah, get up under there and take a good look. Let me know what you see.
You
remember whenever there was a vehicle called a probe?
I like that. We need to bring that back.
Yeah!
From the 806 deodorant, Corey experienced that the other day. From the 817, Choppy here, Blue Chew.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, or Blue Chew Gold.
That's right.
I get that a little bit more. So my hierarchy with those three products would go spare tire, then Blue Chew, then deodorant. Because, like, all right, so third, you're going to stink. It's not preferable, but it's not as bad as, hey, maybe this is your one shot with that person. And you're like, boop. And you just can't make it happen. And so you miss out on that. The tire, that could be a whole issue. So I'm going to go with those.
From the 972, big plan here again. Definitely don't want to run out of flock cameras. I've seen this multiple times, and I'm actually contraceptives.
Oh,
yeah.
When is the last time that was part of your life?
Never.
Yeah, because Alex saving himself.
That's right.
For marriage.
I always leave room for God, you know? Every situation I'm in.
I've seen him at a school dance, and he's very respectful from his date. Got to leave room for the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
I like it.
Yeah, just haven't made it that far in life, you know?
Yeah, that's a lie.
I did see this from, where did it go? I'm stalling. I'm totally stalling. From the 469, back in the day, phone minutes. Yes.
My
first two phones, in what was it, middle school, were track phones. So you had to get the little cards that you scratched off the code and you got minutes for. So I experienced that, and I would buy games and stuff with minutes instead of using it to actually text and call. Oh. Because, you know, I was a dumbass. So, yeah, been there, done that.
Did you know that used to be in, like, the mid-90s, that was a big part of inserts and cards was phone cards?
Yes, which I think is objectively awesome, and we need to bring that back. Like, you open up a pack of Topps Flagship, and it's like, congrats, you just won the iPhone 17 Pro, 256 gigabyte.
That would be awesome, but, like, it's the Fernando Mendoza one-of-one, and you're like, ooh, that's going to be worth more than the phone.
I opened a pack of Flagship last night, Kevin, and In the back of the pack, I was like, oh, what is this card? And it was just the security card.
Oh, yeah.
And I was
like, filler card. Yeah, they put a filler card in there because they're like, you thought it was going to be a relic card.
That's right.
Stupid.
Yes.
But guess what? It's not.
You thought it was a redemption, dummy. Guys.
214 says single moms.
Stop. Speaking of redemption, Jared Sandler redeemed himself during the game yesterday.
He did.
And let's hear how it went down on these very airwaves.
This pitch foul back. Look out. That's you. Yeah. Yes. Way to go. Jay Boogie redeems himself.
I got to find a kid, a Rangers fan. Ranger.
The ghost of Target Field is no more. Outstanding work. Let me see the seams on your palm.
Oh, God.
It's pretty good. I'm impressed.
I'm going to ask that again, Hixie.
All right.
Yeah, Jared Sandor caught a screaming foul ball.
Yeah, he did.
In the booth.
Were you?
That was a rocket, dude.
Will you save that last part? All right. But also, can you play the beginning one more time? And props to Jared. But also props to Matt Hicks for not only communicating with Jared, but narrating to the audience what is happening, because it is happening quickly.
This pitch, foul back. Look out, that's you! Yeah! Yes! Way to go!
That was awesome.
Look out, that's you! Yeah!
And I know Jared is in pain today, because that was a screaming foul ball. That was not any kind of light work. But yes, there's a story about a foul ball that he missed at Target Field once upon a time. So he has redeemed himself. And
that's
probably been
eating at him too, right?
Yes. It definitely has.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, hey, at least one Ranger was making defensive plays last night, right?
Dang. I did not know where that tease was going. That one hurt.
Yeah. Should have had him out there in the outfield. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy with some best and worst case scenarios for the NFL's marquee offensive rookies. Next on The Fan.
On third down, into the backfield. Love breaks a tackle. First down, Arizona. And the number 3 overall pick picks up 11 yards.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, the show of very fun conversations in the break. Right now, powered by Men's T Clinic, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip it and slip it.
We will start with some injury news. Reuben Bain has an AC sprain.
What?
But said it is nothing serious. He expects to be ready to roll when Tampa goes on the road against the Bengals in week one. The same cannot be said for Giants wide receiver Calvin Austin, who has torn his ACL and will be out for the season. So tough break for them right there.
Yeah, that isn't fun. That is not fun.
No. Now, you made reference to it earlier. Christian Gonzalez said about his contract progressions or lack thereof, it's frustrating, but I'm focused on the season. I'm focused on here now. And then added, I mean, it's been all season, so I feel like the line of today is, it is what it is. And Elliot Wolf, the vice president of player personnel, is like, look, we want him here. He's an elite player. Well, I've been on the record saying that. So the saga continues, but he's like, look, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to play. And we'll see if that just disappears then or if it's still an issue.
This is always fascinating. Because this morning, the Sean and RJ and Bobby were talking about who gets the most credit for the way things have gone with George Pickens. And Pickens gets the majority of it, right, for acting like a professional.
For sure.
Being like, you know what, I'm making a lot of money, I'm about to make bank too, you know, I like it here. You know, I think that's another positive. And he's like, it could be a lot worse. I could be in Pittsburgh still. And then when you're in a situation like this, what version of you are you going to be whenever you're trying to get paid? I've done everything I needed to do to get paid, and now you're telling me you're not going to pay me? And so what else can I do? Who else? You know, it's so – and with Micah, like, it kind of makes sense. You're like, I've done all the things.
For sure.
Like, but we're asking you to do more. You're like, whatever, man. I feel like that's where Christian Gonzalez might be, is like he's saying – he doesn't sound like he's the I'm ready to go back to the Super Bowl right now.
So I would recommend a documentary. It might have just come out yesterday. I ended up watching it last night. It's the Vince Young Untold on Netflix. The first half of it is really boring because it just recaps all the stuff leading up to Texas USC, which I feel like we've heard variations of that like 8 million times. The second half, however, is much more interesting. And it is very clear that Jeff Fisher and Vince Young still don't like each other. Now, they tried to say the right thing and everything, but that's
Jeff Fisher still, like, sitting in his hunting cabin staring out the window.
That exact shot that you're thinking of, that is where he does this documentary as well. So the exact place he talked about Steve McNair, it feels like it's the same thing here. But Vince Young talks multiple times about that, definitely in college, but then in the pros where he's like, I have done all this stuff. Like, what have you done to come and meet me? You know, and then Fisher will be like, no, we did all this stuff. What have you done to come and meet us? So, like, you could see how a relationship could potentially get kind of broken up right there.
Who do you believe?
We're not there yet. It's tough because there were a couple of times where I was like, I think Jeff Fisher's on the level. But then a couple other times I was like, you're just being a D-hole right now. And then there were some other things when Vince Young said everyone was always against him, even in college. I'm like, I don't know, dude. It felt like there was like a 2-year window where everyone in the world thought you were the most awesome player, except for the Heisman committee. But everybody else thought you were the most awesome. So it's the second half is definitely interesting.
Interesting.
All right. Speaking of interesting.
Interesting.
Let's go from that to the Washington Commanders.
I've heard of them.
They are going back to, and look, this is what the merchandise says. They are going back to the Redskins moniker and logo for some merchandise in their team store. Now, there's multiple reports about this, and even the team admitted it, saying, quote, we are required to maintain the trademarks and commercial usage so that the trademarks remain under the franchise control, but then said they are not returning to the old name. You asked an intriguing question about that this morning.
What's the point of changing the name then if you're going to be selling this stuff?
Right.
Why
do you still want the trademarks?
Yeah, that's the next question is, why do you want it? Now, I think you answer that pretty quickly with, so nobody else has it.
Right.
So nobody else is able to go out there and use that and make a big, you know, hey, we're kind of bringing it back. And then it looks, but you're kind of in control of the narrative. But so you have to sell things with that on there to keep
that's what they said. I did not dive into trademark and copyright law last night. That's what they say.
Yeah.
To keep the trademark active, I think, is usually what...
Not you, they.
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh. They.
I wonder if like they're like, no, we could just keep purchasing it, but we need to sell something so it pays for itself. I don't know. It's just weird.
It's an interesting dynamic, especially for an organization that was like, we can't do this.
The brand was so big
that
I can see somebody going, hold on, I can get that for $14,000? And then I can make a killing selling Washington Redskins stuff.
And they would.
Yes. Whoever it would be.
Yes.
Would absolutely make a killing off that. So
I wonder,
like, that time that Taco in the league bought the Cowboys website and then sold it for $200,000 back to Jerry.
Hey, that's pure profit, baby. All right. So NFL.com and Lance Zierlein in particular had some stat lines for some of the premier offensive picks from the NFL draft. Let's go to Alex's favorite player, Jordan Tyson, first. 44 catches for 649 yards and 4 touchdowns. Now, obviously, part of the impact there is the hamstring injury.
Mm-hmm.
But let's compare that to some of the other primary.
Big numbers, though, for if he's as injured as I think he'll be.
Yeah, if he misses, like, the first, what, 6 games of the season?
Mm-hmm.
That's not too shabby. It's not great, but it's not shabby. For Carnell Tate, 68 catches, 841 yards, and 7 touchdowns. For the number 4 overall pick, I feel like that could be disappointing.
Who's throwing to him?
Guy who can't throw more than 7 yards.
So maybe that's one of the reasons they're making that.
Maybe, but Mekhi Lemon, who has a quarterback that it feels like people don't love his throwing either, they have him going for 63 catches, 782 yards, and 5 touchdowns. And then there is KC Concepcion, who's going to get the ball from, I don't know, I'm going to predict at least 3 quarterbacks this year. I know what the Browns said in terms of Deshaun Watson, but I'm going to go with at least 3. They have him down for 66 catches, 779 yards, and 5 touchdowns.
I know what we envision KC Concepcion being, Alec. but he went to the worst possible place where he could have gone. It is where receivers go to die.
Better make it up on the return game.
Yeah, it's just such a bad thing for him. I hate that.
Now, tell me if
demand
this...
a trade now. He should have demanded a trade on draft
night. Oh, man, pull a Eli?
Yeah, on draft night. Just walked out on the stage and grabbed the microphone and been like, I demand a trade and bankruptcy.
I do think it would be awesome if once you got past pick, 10, every player in the draft got two no draft teams. And so you're like, no, I will not go to these teams, and they have to abide by those rules.
But they have to go up on stage and say that in front of everybody, too.
My picks are the Packers and the Steelers. I will not play for you. And you're like, oh, shocking news here, as the presumptive number 12 pick is now. All right. So
yeah, I like this.
Tell me if you think this would be a disappointing season for Jeremiah Love. The projection here, Jeremiah Love, 918 yards rushing with 7 touchdowns, as well as 54 catches for 415 yards and 2 touchdowns. So you're looking at almost 1,350 yards total offense with only 918 rushing at a clip of 4.1 yards per carry.
That would be disappointing for me.
I think so, too.
Especially since I have a Kelsey trade for him to go over 1,000 yards rushing.
Well, Jadarian Price... getting closer per NFL.com. They've got Jadarian Price at 986 yards on 219 carries. That would be 4.5 yards per carry. But a big tick down on the receptions, 25 catches for 215 yards and a touchdown. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 of the Fan. Oh, by the way, Mahomes said he's feeling great, on track to play in week 1.
He did it.
Coming up next, let's do some NFL overreaction or reality right here on the Fan.